Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for those songs of praise. I'd like to welcome all the visitors that we have with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us this morning. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Wanted to remind everybody, tonight is the last Sunday of the month, and tonight will be our scripture and singing service with a short invitational at the end. And it's the week of our monthly potluck. So, and I see in the bulletin, it says it's a Valentine theme. I have no clue what that is. I know the meatballs that I'm bringing tonight will be made with love. So, but I don't know. But ladies, you probably totally know, understand those things. Have a couple of prayer requests. LaGaia has asked prayers for a relative or a friend of hers, Carmen Flores, who is kind of like a second mom to her. She was her mom's best friend. And she had requested prayers for her recently. She's got diverticulitis, but also has developed sepsis. And she's asking prayers that she doesn't need surgery and for comfort for her. So we will remember her in just a moment. Yes. Oh, before the batteries fall out. Thank you. And also Tim and Brittany Parker, they'd like to give thanks for the birth of a healthy baby girl to Tim's brother, Ryan. They live in New Mexico, and so they've got an addition to the family. They are proud aunt and uncle. So anytime a baby's healthy and happy, that's wonderful. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We are very mindful for those that were just mentioned. We're very thankful that Tim's brother Ryan and his family have a healthy baby. We pray that it will continue to be healthy and grow healthy. We pray for all of the children, especially connected with this congregation, that they will be raised properly in the nurture and admonition of you. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Carmen Flores. She's dealing with not only diverticulitis, but also sepsis. We pray that the doctors will be able to get that under control and that she won't need surgery. Dear God, we ask that you be with Kurt and that the doctors were able to treat his hand properly and no problems with that or infection. Dear God, be with us in the rest of our worship to you. We hope that everything we do and have done today is pleasing to you, brings you glory and honor and edification for those that hear. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you have specific books that you tend to be drawn to in your study. I know when I'm reading the Gospels, for some reason, I'm kind of spend most of my time in Matthew or the Gospel of John. And lately, I've been trying to give more attention to the book of Mark and Luke, just to give some equal study time in those. And today our lesson is going to be taken from the Gospel of Mark, starting in the first chapter, the first 15 verses. It's a fairly short passage. Brother Pete read it to us in our scripture reading today. Only took a few minutes to read, but it's interesting that the Gospel of Matthew, all of the Gospels, are aimed and prioritize Jesus. I mean, that's what the Gospels are. It points you to Jesus. Matthew is written in a little bit different perspective, focuses an awful lot from the Jewish perspective. It gives a lot of attention to the genealogy of Jesus. I call them the begat chapters. So-and-so begat him, and so-and-so begat him. But it's a lot of the Jewish perspective showing the lineage of Christ. A lot of it is written in the Old Testament and so forth. The Gospel of John is a very universal gospel that basically the everything is pointing to Jesus, and anybody could read that, Jew, Gentile alike. The book of Mark kind of has an emphasis on to the Roman citizen, the authority, the power of Jesus. That is something that they were impressed with. Rome was founded, the empire was founded upon power. And we see throughout the Gospel of Mark showing Jesus his power, his authority, his credibility, for when he says something, he's got the credibility for that to back it up. Starting in verse 1, it says the beginning. This is how the book starts out. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's laying the groundwork in the first verse who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, and this is his story. This is his teaching. Mark begins straight off with the gospel, where Matthew gives a lot of groundwork about genealogy and the birth of Jesus and so forth. This highlights the significance of and the importance of the gospel. In verse 2, it says, "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John had a specific role, and we will see in the Gospel of Mark that he fulfilled his duty. He fulfilled what he was sent to do. To a lot of people, duty, responsibility, is something to shy away from. John had one purpose: prepare the people for the coming Savior. And he did that. All of us have a role. Are we fulfilling it like John the Baptist did? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul would write, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." We all have a role. We all need to fulfill that role to the best of our abilities. Some of us have more abilities than others. I wish it'd rub off on me. But we all have different abilities, but let's use them. Let's use those abilities and give God the glory for any increase. In verse 4, it says, "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." So I guess Peter, on the day of Pentecost, that message wasn't brand new. "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John paved the way. He preached Jesus, he preached the coming kingdom, and he preached baptism for forgiveness of sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, I know I'm not a clothes horse. I'm not going to be on the cover of GQ anytime. But I'm not dressed in camel's hair, okay? This is a good example of expectations. We as people sometimes get an expectation of what we think things should be like. The kind of the, what was it? Name and behold, I thought, instead of what God thinks. John wasn't the picture of your ideal religious leader. He kind of stood out, probably laughed at by many people. Jesus, while we're at it, Jesus wasn't the expectation of what people were looking for with the Messiah. The kingdom wasn't what they were expecting. They were expecting an earthly kingdom, a mighty leader, an army, a castle. Their expectations wasn't exactly what was coming. Verse 7 says, "And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John displayed a great deal of humility. Verse 5 that we read just a second ago, it says, "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him." A lot of people have succumbed to that right there. People coming out to them, and they get full of themselves. I'm seeing some nodding. You know, all we have to do is look around. John displayed humility. A little in the Gospel of John, when he's in prison, awaiting his death, he gives the wonderful attitude that we should have also, where he says, "He must increase and I must decrease." You've got everybody from the area flocking out to him. And he keeps everything in perspective. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus, the Savior. In verse 9, it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This passage teaches about baptism, the importance of it. Taught that we see how John was baptizing. Baptized by John in the Jordan, not just with a water pot, little spritz in here and there, in a river. And in John 3, verse 23, it talks about he was baptizing in the Jordan because there was much water there. It took effort to go do that instead of just a little spritz bath. Jesus gives us an example to follow. When Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, he's giving a command. He never asked us to do anything that he himself didn't do. And it bewilders me, the people that argue you don't need to be baptized to be saved, even though it says it, even though Jesus gave us the example. And this passage also showed Jesus' deity. When he comes up out of the water and a voice from heaven comes and says, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased that you were obedient. The very same thing, every one of us that have been baptized, God was well pleased with us for our obedience. Those of us that are not baptized, when we do get baptized, God is saying to himself, I am well pleased with you for your obedience to my word. Every one of us. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. He was tempted by Satan. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we see him more detailed. In Mark, it was almost, oh, by the way. We get a more detailed account in Matthew, how the devil tempted him with things that we face. Pride, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, as John wrote about. And every time Jesus responded with Scripture, when we are tempted, respond with Scripture. Verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Short passage, 15 verses. We see that John had been put in prison. Why? For wearing camel's hair? No. For eating honey? No. For killing locusts and eating them? No. For preaching some uncomfortable truths. People hearing it didn't like what he was saying. They put him in prison. And he would eventually, we see just a few chapters later in Mark 6, not only was he put in prison, he was also beheaded and killed for it. Jesus, he preached the gospel too. And some of the things that Jesus would preach in this gospel are uncomfortable truths that people have to, as my dad used to say, fish or cut bait. You either have to follow or not follow. He didn't shy away, even though he saw what had happened to John. And being the Son of God, he knew what was in his future. All for preaching what he did. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. It's right here. What you've been waiting for generations is now here. And his message was repent, change. That's one of the greatest things in the Bible. We don't have to stay the person we are forever. That's an amen right there. That I don't have to be, well, you used to do this. Yeah, I did. You used to do that. Yeah, I did. I'm not going to argue. I got a few stories that maybe you hadn't heard. Yeah, I did. But we don't have to stay like that. That's the great thing about repentance. We don't have to be the old X, Y, or Z person. And then Jesus himself would say in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The message is as applicable today for us as it was for the people in the first century. Believe in the gospel. It's the word of God. Repent. Change your life. Change the direction you're going and live for Christ. Be baptized. We saw a good example Jesus himself gave us. And then preach the gospel. Whether it's like this or across a coffee table or just by the way we live our lives. We're giving a message to people. The message is yours. You've got the scriptures on the outline. If you want to look at those this week in your private study, if there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, I know most of us have been baptized. If you haven't, this is a perfect time for it. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you need to repent of public sin. Whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.